Begin the current topic, Mesechtes Menachos Daf Chafei. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the theme of the previous Mishnah, is discussing different invalidations and problems that could crop up in the halachas of this Mesechta of a mincha of a flower offering. Says the Mishnah, Nit mahakaymitz, if the fistful, the part that's taken off from the mincha, which is then sacrificed in the Mizbech, that became tamei, v'hekrivei, and anyways it was sacrificed, so hatzitz meratza, so the tzitz, the plate that the Kohen Gadol would wear on his forehead, that tzitz, that's one of the Shmoyne Begadim, it provides appeasement for that kaimet that became tamei, and therefore the mincha is going to be kosher, and the leftovers could be eaten. But let's say yatza ve'kriva, but let's say it became invalidated in a different way, not through tuma, but rather it had left a perimeter where it's allowed to be. And in spite of that, they brought it back and they sacrificed that kaimet on the mizbeach. In that tzitz meratza, here the tzitz does not provide appeasement for that. As the Mishnah explains, shas tzitz meratza ala tamei, because the tzitz, the plate of the Kohen Gadol only is meratza on tuma, but ve'ina meratza ala yetze, but the forehead plate does not provide ritzi on a different invalidation like that of having left the area of the azar. So the Gemara explains with the b'raisa tarnabon, one of the b'raisa. The pasuk that's the source for the ritz of the tzitz says in Shemais, v'nasa aron es tavoyin ha-kadoshim aron, the Kohen Gadol who wears the forehead plate, he's going to carry the sin of the kachim of the holy sacrifices. Now that's his debris. Now which sin is the tzitz carrying that it's going to provide appeasement for? Im tema oven pigal, if you would think to say that if let's say someone had an inappropriate thought when he was doing the avodah, which invalidates the carbon, and that you're saying in spite of that, if the avodah is done, it's going to be valid, the tzitz is meratz on that, you can't say that. The pasuk says b'yikra, and it talks about pigal. It says lo yichashav, it's not going to be considered. It's clearly being invalidated. If you think it's to say when a carbon was left over the time that it's allowed to be, and then someone eats from it, that should be that regarding its sacrifice, it should be valid after the fact because the ritz tzitz can't say that. The pasuk says the yikra lo yiratz, it's not going to be found to be willing. So says the brisa, rather, what is the tzitz carrying that it's going to be maratza? It's the sin of tuma, and that is even though it became tummy, which is not allowed. But the tzitz will be maratz on that if it was sacrificed. And why tuma? Because there's a certain lenience to be fined already by the problem of tuma. Shahut shemuchlola b'tzibur, where it was permitted from the general category of it being forbidden in regards to the public of the Jewish people. The pasuk says in regarding the carbon tamid in Bamidbar Chav Ches, regarding the daily sacrifice, which the carbon tzibur says b'mayadai in its time, which is in all situations, even on Shabbos, and even in the state of tuma. So we see that already there's a leniency in tuma. So therefore, also after the fact, the tzitz is meratza regarding any carbon that becomes tummy, that if a sacrifice, that the tzitz is going to be meratza and it's going to be a valid carbon, a valid kmitza, a valid mincha. Now, however, maskevler b'zir asks, how do you know that, okay, so it's not pigul, it's not naisa, but how do you know it's referring specifically to tuma? Maybe it's referring to the sin, as our Mishnah said, the one that it's not accounted for. Maybe it's the one of when it left the perimeter. Why? That has the same idea of the leniency as tuma, where there's a general category that we found by the Mishkan, where it's forbidden to leave the certain area of the kloim, of the curtains of the azar, of the Beis HaMikdash. And yet that was permitted by the private altars, as we find by the bum, even the public altars of Neivan Givon, where there was no curtains over there, so there was no problem about leaving a certain perimeter. Whereas this that's forbidden by the Mishkan, the Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Pei Beis Menal from a pasuk where Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, "Maduro lo echalta masachatas b'makom hakadosh," which obviously there's a certain perimeter where it's allowed to be. But why did the Mishnah say that it's only meratza for the tuma, not for yaitze? Why? That also has a leniency that we find that it was hutra by tuma is tzibur. Here it's we find by the bum of not even given. So maybe that's also we should say that the tzitz meratza on that. Abayas said to Reb Zeira, no, because Amakra, the Pasuk says over there, in regards to the reach of the tzitz, L'ratzin lehem lefnei Hashem, that it should be willing for them in front of Hashem. Now, what that tells us is, oven lefnei Hashem in, only a sin that's in front of Hashem, that is going to be accepted by the tzitz, oven de yetz aloy. But a sin that's not in front of Hashem, actually, that's the sin of yetzi, where it leaves, it's not in front of Hashem anymore, it was taken out of the area, that's not merutza, that's not appeased by the tzitz. But the Gemara continues asking, Masiv l'Rabbi Lo, Ema Avin Smile. Maybe it's regards to the sin of doing the avodah with the left hand, where initially the halacha is that the kohen has to do the avodah with the right hand, as the Gemara said in the first paragraph of Yerim and Aleph, wherever we find etzpa, and the kohen has to be done with the right hand. Maybe to say if he did it inappropriately with the left hand, then, oh, that's what the tzitz is meratza for, and it will be a good avodah. Because we find that there's also an exception to the general rule of left hand, where the Kohen Gadol, when he's bringing the Keteris, Lefnai V'Lefnim, in the Holies of Holies, he takes the pan, the shovel with the Keteris in the with the coals in the right hand, and he takes the pan with the Keteris in the left hand. So you see, there is an exception, so maybe that should be the one, if it was done inappropriately, that says it's going to be Meratzah, for just like the Brice is saying, the Svari is regarding Tumah. On that, Amalai Baye says, no, you can't say that. Because Amakra Oven, the pasuk says, V'nasa Aaron es Avoin, that Aaron will carry the sin. That sounds like, Oven Shahayubai, the sin that was in this thing that initially applies everywhere. V'dechisiv, and that's something that I overrode for a sin of the Tzibur, because of the dignity of the Tzibur. But that we're saying, but regards to an individual, even though that's not permitted, even to override, oh, but since by the tzibur we allow it, in a forced way, like with Amei Tumah, that we override it by individual, if it's done after the fact, the tzitz will be meratzah. But lafuki Yom Kippurim, that excludes regarding the left hand of Yom Kippurim, dehersheri b'smalhu. There's no sin over there. That's the way it's supposed to be done on Yom Kippurim. And therefore you can't say that this is a sin which in the Tzibur or in some other way was Hutra, so then we're going to be lenient and say after the fact it's going to work by the Yachid, because you don't find anywhere by the Avoid with the left hand that it was ever overridden to be allowed, and therefore, oh, we find leniencies in that problem so that it should be allowed by the Tzibur, by the Yachid after the fact that the Tzibur should be Meratzah, because not true. By Tumah you do. Where, okay, we allow it by the Tzibur, and it's actually a problem, but okay, for the Tzibur we allow it. But by Ismail, it was never allowed. It's actually, that is the way it's supposed to be done, and therefore that's not something that you can prove the leniency in that problem but left, that of the small hand, to say that it's going to be Merutza by the Tzitz. Or another answer to this last Gemara's question of Ashim, he says, no, you can't say that the Tzitz is being Merutza on the sin of doing the Avodah with the left hand. Because what does the Pasuk say? It says that he's going to carry the sin Avon HaKadoshim, the sin of the Kadoshim, of the sacrifices. But not the sin of those who are bringing the sacrifices. A sin that's contingent on the Kehanim, where they have to do the Avodah and do the Kemitza with the right hand, and instead he does it with the left hand, that Aaron does not carry. And therefore it's obviously referring to something that's a problem with the carbon itself, like Tumah, and not doing with the left hand, which is the Kayin, the Gavra, not the Chetzah, not the object. But the Gemara continues asking, Amalei Rav Sima Bereid Rav Idi L'Rav Ashi, Vamrila, and some say is Rav Sima Bereid Rav Ashi L'Rav Ashi, that he asks, but Ve'ema Oven Bamum. Maybe what the tzitz is meratz is referring to something else, the sin of doing a carbon that has a blemish. Why? Shehut mechalal ba'ifas, we find that that was permitted in the conceptual way by bird carbons. Dama Malik, the master said, Thomas v'zachas b'behema, the law of being unblemished and being specific gender like a male, is only by animal sacrifices. Vein Thomas v'zachas ba'ifas, is no halach of being unblemished or being a gender like a male by bird carbons. So you see there's an exception to that problem about being a balmum. So maybe that's what we said, if after the fact one sacrifices a balmum, the tzitz is meratzah. How do you know it's tumah, not balmum? So Malay, so he said to him, and Vashi responded back, he says, Alecha makra, regarding you and your question, the pasuk says, lo yiratzah, when it talks about meikach of beis, by the ox and by the sheep, which have certain blemishes, it says, lo yiratzah, it's not going to be found to be willing. And another pasuk, ki lo yiratzah yilachem, because it's not going to be found to be willing for you, what, like the pasuk says, kol ha-shabay mum, whatever has a blemish, lo yisekrivu, you see clearly the pasuk says, lo yiratzah, like we said before, by pigel and nicer, and therefore obviously it's not something that the tzitz is being meratzah, and that's why it was like the Braisa said, for the source of the halacha of HaMishnah, it's only regarding the laws of Tumah that the tzitz is being meratzah for. Now, continuing on this theme about Ritzit Tzitz, which in our Mishnah, like in our Masechet with Tumah Menachis, but the Gemara brings a Braisa Tana Banan that talks about on the same theme, but in regards to the laws of Zivachim, of Karbanis, specifically regarding that of Dam, where in the equivalent of our Mishnah, we're talking about the Kaimitz, which that's the equivalent of the Dam that's thrown on the Mizbeach. It says the Braisa, Dam Shenitma Vizarkar, regarding the blood that became Tummy and then it was thrown. So it says the Braisa, B'shoigig Hurtza, if it was by mistake, then, okay, it's going to be found to be willing. Like we said, the tzitz meratza on the tumah. But b'mezul loy hortza, but if it was deliberate, then it's not going to be found to be willing. Now, this that we're talking about by mistake or deliberate, the Gemara later on is going to explain what's it going on. What was mistake or deliberate? The throwing or the fact that it became tummy? But be that as it may, says the b'raisa, b'med v'amur, but when did we say this? Is b'yachid, is regards to an individual. That it's only good b'shegig b'na b'mezit of b'tzibur, regarding a carbon of the tzibur, b'mishegig b'mezit hurtza, whether if it was by mistake or even deliberate, by the tzibur we're going to say it's going to be accepted by the tzitz. Now, This was all talking about by Jewish people. But by non-Jews, which they send their carbon and the blood became tamei. Now, because as the Gemara tells us later on, the Ayin Gimel Mabez, it says in the pasuk ish ish mi beis Yisrael asher Yaakov karbon. What does it say, ish ish? That comes to include even non-Jews, that they can be neged in the darim and davis ki Yisrael, they could also bring karbanas. So if the non-Jew brought his carbon and the blood became tamei, so then says the Brayis bein b'shagig, whether if by mistake, meaning that he thought karbanas cannot contract tuma, so that's why he allowed the blood to become tamei, but it was by mistake. Or by memezer, whether deliberately, or by ba'inus of whether beyond his control, where it became tamei without his volition, or by beratzin, or if let's say it was willing, which as Rashi points out, as we continue to Beis, the idea of mezer and ratzin, deliberate and willingly, are all the same thing. It's just because shaygig and einus are two different things, and the converse of that is mezer and ratzin. So different mention because einus is when beyond his control, shaygig is when a person was unaware. Now then, says the Brisa, then, in regards to the non-Jew, in all situations, the tzitz is not going to be meratzah, because the pasuk in Shemesh Chavcha says, V'hoya mitzchei tamid l'ratzin lahem, that this tzitz should be on the Kohen Gadol's forehead constantly, and that it should be willing for you the Jewish people, and not for Ayvei Kechavim, not for non-Jews. That's one braisa. Ask the Gemara of Rimini, but this seems to be contradicted by another braisa. The braisa says, Amah tzitz meratzah, for regarding what does the tzitz provide Ritzui, that it atones for, that it allows it, this thing to pass by, although it's problematic. Al Adam, regarding the blood, that we spoke about in the previous Braisa. Valabasa, regarding the meat, which is generally eaten by the Kohanim, the blood is thrown on the Mizbeach. Valachelev Shenitma, regarding the fat, which are sacrificial parts that are burnt on the top of Mizbeach in the fire. Shenitma, if any one of these three things become Tamei, Beim Meshagi, Beim Emeza, whether by mistake, whether deliberately, Beim Ma'inus, Beim Barasim, whether beyond his control, whether willingly. Bein b'yachad, bein b'tzibur, whether regarding individual, whether regarding a tzibur, that the tzitz is going to be meratza. But one thing you see from this braisa is that the tzitz is meratza even regarding deliberate of a yachad, because it doesn't differentiate. And yet the previous braisa said clearly that regarding a yachad, it only works b'shege and not b'meiz. Some Rav Yisi, he says, l'kash is not a difficulty. Ha, Rav Yisi, the second braisa that we just quoted on this amid is Rav Yisi. Ha, Rabbanan, the Tana, the braisa, for the previous stuff is the Rabbanan. The Tana, like, the braisa. In termin min atame alatar, the Gemara brings a braisa regarding the laws of truma, which a person has to separate a certain amount, not this specific, generally it's around 1/50th, to separate from his produce truma, from the tevel. So it says the braisa, a person cannot take truma from the produce that's tame to allow and deconsecrate the rest of his produce, which is tahar, because you're giving the kain something that's deficient, which is tame, can't eat it, and the rest of the produce is tahar. Now, Avim Tarm, if he did do that, if he did give the kain truma that's tamei on the rest of his produce that's tar, so says the Braisa, Bishagig, if he did it by mistake, truma say truma, so after the fact it's going to be a valid truma. And the way we know this is because the Gemara says many places, like in Bab Metzidaf Nanvov Med Aleph, it says in the Pasuk, Balei Sisul of Chet, that you should not carry on yourself a sin, but Rimchum Eschelba, when you separate the choice parts to give his truma to the kain. Now, if a person doesn't give the appropriate, he gives, let's say, tamei instead of tahar, if it's not going to be sanctified and considered as truma, so then what's the sin? You didn't do anything, it's not effective. Obviously, that's what the Gemara says elsewhere, that if someone's turban ara layaf, if he takes bad things as truma for the rest of his produce, which he's keeping that's good, that it is a truma, and that's why it's saying, well, don't get that sin, because if you do it, it will be valid after the fact, although inappropriately. So therefore, if he does it by mistake, it's going to be truma. But b'mezid, if he does deliberately in truma, so truma, it's not going to be a valid truma, which that's a rabbinic penalty because he did it deliberately, and that's not appropriate to do. Now, there's actually machlekes in Meruam and Yevamos in the Perakei Isha. There is an opinion that says this, that it says that his truma is not a valid truma when he does deliberately, is only that it doesn't fix the rest of it for him to be able to eat it. But it's still going to be considered truma because ultimately, biblically, it is a valid truma. But be that as it may, they're saying clearly that when it's done deliberately, it's not going to be valid. That's like we're saying in the first braisa. When the yochid does b'mezit, the rabbanan give a penalty that it's not going to work, and the tzitz not going to be ratza, like here in truma, where it's not going to be a valid truma. Whereas Rabbi Yesi Emer, as we're saying that he's the tana of the second braisa, he says, b'im b'shagi, b'im b'mezit, whether it's done by mistake, or whether it's done even deliberately, truma said truma, it's going to be a valid truma. So he sees like the second braisa, which doesn't differentiate and does not penalize an individual, even when he does something b'mezit, the biblical halacha will still be effective. However, on this resolution, as the Gemara, where do we find Rabbi Yisi that he says by an individual that's going to work even when he does it deliberately, like we're saying, is the halacha delay kanes. That's just that he doesn't say the rabbis penalize even an individual when he does b'mezid. But the meratz, it sits alachilis mishamidle. But does Rabbi Yossi hold that the tzitz is meratza, provides appeasement not only for the blood part of the karbanas, but even for the meat to be eaten? Because you're saying, who's the town of the second brisa? You're saying it's like Rabbi Yossi. Now, the brisa mentioned three things that the tzitz is meratza, for the blood, for the meat, and for the sacrificial parts. So it comes out that the time of this brisa, who you want to say is Rabbi Yossi, is even permitting the meat to be eaten. Now, the reason why we're picking on the eating part is because regarding those things which are sacrificed in the Mizbeach, regarding the dam and on the chaylev, that everyone agrees that tzitz is going to be meratza on that, because that's what the brisa teaches in Teres Kayanim. Tzitz is meyikur yudzayim, but nirtza loy lechapra lov, which is this idea about the tzitz is going to be meratza to provide atonement for him. That's toma by the blood. How do you know it's the blood when it says l'chaper love? Because it says elsewhere ki'adamu ba'nefesh l'chaper. It says meyukri yedzayin that it's the blood that the atonement happens with. Now I would only know if it's tahar dam. How do we know that it's even when the blood is tamei? That's what the pasuk teaches in Shmei Tzchav Ches by the tzitz. It says v'nasa aron he's going to carry, which that's talking about by the blood because it says over there l'ratzin lahem. And here also says v'nirtza, just like over there it's a dam. Also over here it's referring to the dam. Now I would only know it's referring to the blood. How do I know it to anything that's brought on the mizbeach? That's a teach l'chom matnas kachem. Anything that is for their gifts of kachem, which are put on the mizbeach, the tzitz is going to be meratza. But that's only regarding things that are put on the mizbeach. The meat is eaten by the kahanim. Does Rabbi Yossi hold, as you want to say, he's the Tanya, the second Braisa, that the tzitz meratza even on things that kahanim eat? But Vatanya learned the Braisa not like that. Rabbi Leza Omer, he says, hatzitz meratza lechilas, that it even provides appeasement when it became tamei, even on items that are eaten by the kahanim, which is the meat. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ain hatzitz meratza lechilas, says it's not meratza, it's only on the chaylev, on the dam, not on the bastos. How can you say the Tanya, the second Braisa is Rabbi Yossi? Says the Gemara, Epoch, turn around this last brisa, the attribution of the opinions. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer Einat Tzitz Meratza L'Chilas. He's the one that says, no, it's not Meratza on things that are eaten. And Rabbi Yossi Oimer Tzitz Meratza L'Chilas. Rabbi Yossi is the one who says it is, like we're saying he's the Tana of that second brisa. So therefore, we now find both points is regarding him. One, that he holds that we don't penalize a Yachad that does B'mezid. That's one element of the brisa. And also, that the Tzitz Meratza L'Chilas. However, on this answer, as the Gemara Maskeb Rav Sheshes says, Ami Matzisa Achlisla, can you really turn about around the attribution of this last brisa that we taught to say Rabbi Elazar is the one who says that it's not Meratza, and Rabbi says the one that it is Meratza? But Vatanya learned the brisa, Rabbi Elazar clearly says that it is Meratza on Achilles, and therefore he's the one that holds that, not Rabbi Yossi. Because the brisa says as follows, Yachal Basa Shenitma Lefnei Zrikas Dam. You would think, regarding a piece of meat that became Tamei, before the blood of the carbon was thrown, and the person eats the meat of the carbon, when he is in the state of ritual impurity, what's called tumas aguf, before the blood of the carbon is thrown, you would think yuchayavin, and the gear says olav. You would think yuchayavin olav mishum tuma, that he would be liable, as Rashi explains from Teres Kainim. We're talking about the liability, not of the meat becoming tamei, because in actuality, Rashi says the case would even be talking about even if the meat is tahar. But what we're primarily talking about over here is that you would think he'd be liable, which there's a liability generally, of even karis, if the person has tumas haguf, and he's eating the piece of kachim. So you would think when he has tumas haguf, before the blood of the carbon was thrown, you would think that he would be liable. Talmud Lema, that's the pasuk teaches. No, it says kol tar yechol baser. Whoever is pure could eat the meat of the carbon. And the pasuk continues, v'nefesh asher teichol baser mizavech shlam hashel Hashem. But if the soul who eats from the meat of the carbon shlam, which is designated for Hashem, v'tumasa elav, and he has his tumah on him, meaning he's in a physical state of ritual impurity, oh, then v'nechrusa, then he gets karas. So what we learn from that is hanitru l'tahayrin. That's what the pasuk is saying. And then it talks about the prohibition of a tummy eating it, which tells us, whatever is permitted for the tar to eat, then the one whose tummy is going to be liable for eating it, karis. But if it's not permitted for a tar person, like someone that's eating even tar meat, but even if he has tumas aguf, but before the blood of the carbon was thrown, then it wasn't yet permitted for tahirin, because what permits the meat to be eaten by other people? It's the zrikas adam, before the zrikas adam, you're not allowed to eat it. Oh, so since it's not nitil tahirin, so in chayav nulam shum tumah, then there's not going to be a liability, even if the person has tumas aguf, if he's eating it before zrikas adam, he's not going to be chayav karas. That says the bray, so oyener, or maybe no. El, rather, this is how you should expound the pasuk. Like we said, the pasuk is obviously making a hekesh between these two ideas. What's eaten by someone that's tar, that's something that you can be liable for eating in the state of tumah. So far, everything we said up until now is the same, but on that we're changing the idea. Somebody that's not eating for something that's tar, you're not going to be liable for the laws of tumah, meaning because of tumah's aguf, and that's the b'raisa. Maybe that's even for something that at one point was permitted for the tahirin, but right now it's not permitted for tahirin. What case would that be excluding? I would exclude a carbon that was left overnight beyond its time, or was taken out of the perimeter after the blood was thrown, that even though it was at one point permitted for a tar person to eat after the blood was thrown, but since right now the carbon is pasul, and therefore a tar cannot eat it, so you would think that if someone who eats it in the state of tumah actually would not be chayiv kasha'ina nechal time, because right now it's not eaten by tahirin. So and that says the Brisa, no tamalema asher l'Hashem. That's what it says, that the carbon that's for Hashem, which is a rebate, it's a, in the inclusionary term, what's asher l'Hashem, anything that's for Hashem, meaning that there's going to be a liability for tumah on things like lon and yaitze. It's only something that was never fit yet, which is before the zrikas adam. But if it's not permitted for tumah now because of something that subsequently happened, that still would be included in the chiyuv of karis for someone that's tamei that's eating the carbon, even if it was lon or if it was yaitze. Now, based on the inclusionary term, says the Braisa, so Yochel Shani Marbes HaPigulin Ves HaNaisaris, so I would think maybe even include a carbon that was possible because it was pigul or because it was left over. Which the Gemara says, Naisaris, Hainu Lon, what do you mean left over? That's the same thing we just said before about being left over. You already said that there's a liability because of that for Tumah. El rather, amends the Gemara, the Braisa, what it's saying is, you would think to include Af HaPigulin Kin Naisaris, meaning we already included Lon, which is nicer. But you would think to include even carbon that became possible because of machshava psul the kohen had when he was doing the avodah called pigul of eating a chutzlis manoi, that it should also be included in the liability of karis of eating in tumas aguf, like the psul of neiser, which as Shidim Gubetzis points out, that's, but what do you mean? Pigul is not permitted for tahir. So how could you think that you'd be chayiv? And that says Shidim Gubetzis, that since pigul is only established once all the matirim and the zrikas adam, everything is done, so at the same time that it's permitted to be eaten when the blood is thrown is the same moment that it becomes pigul. So then therefore we could say at that moment it was permitted for tahirim, and therefore you would think that for pigul actually one would be chayiv for eating it in a tumas, karis for eating it tumas aguf. Tamalayma mi zevach ha-shlamim. That says from the carbon of the shlamim, which is miut, saying an exclusionary term. From, not every carbon, only some. Meaning we're excluding pigul, that pigul is not going to be chayiv karis for eating it in the state of tumas aguf. And that the question is, Umari Isla Rabba Sasalu, Lohit Sasalu, how do you know to see fit to include those and exclude these? I mean, there's a ribu and there's a miyat. How do you know which one is which? Says the Braisa, Achasha Riba HaKos of a miyat, since there's an inclusionary term and there's an exclusionary term. So Amrit, you'd say the following logic. Marbra and the Yisalu, I'll include those cases of Lon and Yaitse to be Chayev Karas feeding in Tumas Agov, Shahisl and Shasakesha, which they at least had an opportune time of being eaten by a tar person, because the moment the zrika was done, they were kosher. And therefore, although now it's possible, that's still going to be something that would be chayiv karis for eating tumas aguf. But I'll exclude the case of pigul, never had an opportune time. As we said, the moment it became permitted, it became already usher as pigul, and therefore it was never had a moment of permissibility. Therefore, that's the one we're going to exclude the liability of karis for eating with tumas aguf, because not really considered nitul atahir. Now, but then if you're going to say, regarding a piece of meat that became tamei before the blood of the carbon was thrown, and then a kain ate it when he had tumas aguf after the blood was already thrown. The question is, says the Braisa, why is there liability of eating it for a state of tumas aguf? But that case also didn't have a shas akasher. They never had a moment of opportunity because the meat was already tummy before the blood was even thrown. Now, that's the Bryce's question is, what did we say we're excluding from the meat? Only pigle. That you're not going to be liable. But if it became tummy, even before the blood was thrown, and then they eat it after the blood is thrown, sounds like you're going to be liable. But why are you going to be liable? Never had a shas akasha. That says the Bryce, because the tzitz is meratza on tumah to make that, okay, even though it's tummy, but the tzitz is meratze. It says like it's okay. So therefore the zrikas adam is going to be okay. And therefore, on some level, it was permitted for the tahirim, even though you can't technically can't eat it, because it is tamei, but the tzitz is meratze. So therefore, it's like it's permitted, and therefore, that's why one would be liable for eating a tumas aguf, because on some level, it was like nitzel tahirim, because the tzitz is meratze on that. But one thing, this is where the Gemara concludes the discussion. So, sounds like Nitma, if it became Tamei before the blood was thrown, then in. Then yes, that's where we're saying that the person is going to be liable if he eats it after the blood was thrown in the state of Tumas Aguf. But Yaitzalai, sounds like that's only regarding if it was Nitma. But if, let's say, it was taken out of the perimeter of the Azara, that there no. Because then when you threw the blood, afterwards, subsequently, there the tzitz is not meratza on Yaitzi, like we said. Why? Because it never had a shasa kaisher. There was already Yaitzi before the blood was thrown. So it sounds like only my nitpa, but not by Yaitzi. That says the Gemara, man shamat le do'ama inzri kama elis liyaitzi. Wait a second, who's the time of this brisa? That the idea we just mentioned, that we said the inference is that, oh, why by Tuma did we say that that's going to be even if before the blood was thrown, that you'd be chayva even afterwards, which we inferred, but that by Yetzir that would not be the case, because by Yetzir the tzitz is not going to be meratza. Who is it that says that the zrika does not help for something that had already, before the blood was thrown, been taken out of the perimeter, that it's not going to become a kosher carbon? That's Rebbe Eliezer. How do we know that's Rebbe Eliezer? Because he says in the first paragraph, Masechet Zim Il Daf Vav Mabez, that says, Baser Kachar Kachim that left the Azar before the blood was thrown, Rebbe Eliezer says, there's still going to be Me'il on that, even after the blood is thrown, because throwing the blood is not going to be effective for that carbon to remove it from Me'ila, because once it was taken out of the Azara, the Zrika doesn't work. So we see the time of this Bryce is Rebbe Eliezer, because he's the one that holds that Be'yaitze, the Zrika is not going to work. Vekutani, and what do we find in this brisa? The meratzah tzitz alachilais. We find clearly in this brisa that the baser that became tamei, the tzitz is going to be meratzah on it. So you see, Rebbe Eliezer is the one who holds that it is meratzah nachilas. So how could you say by turning around the previous brisa to contain your resolution that it was Rebbe Yosi who's the time of the second brisa by saying he's the one who holds meratzah lachilas and Rebbe Eliezer holds not, when you see clearly that the time of this brisa is Rebbe Eliezer, as we find by law of Yaitse, that the zrika is not going to work, and yet he says that it's being meratzah lachilas to be chayiv for the tumas aguf when the itzel lach zrika is done, when it became tummy beforehand. What do you mean? It was already never had a shasa kaisha? No, it did, because the tzitz meratzah alachilas on the basa. So Elam Rav Chizr, rather Rav Chizr says you're right. Loi kasha. No, we're going to give a different answer for the original contradiction of the two brises. Ha, the second brisa, that the brisa said that when it's done even bemazed by an individual, it's going to be merutza. It's not like we said it's Reb Yesi, rather Reb Eliezer. It's Reb Eliezer from the fact that it says that the tzitz is meratza nechilis, which we just proved that's Reb Eliezer. Ha, the first brisa that says it's not going to be merutza is the Rabbanan, who they hold that when a yachid, as we said before, does something bemazed that we penalize him, that's not going to be merutza. And that is the Gemara, similar to the question we asked before in Reb Yesi, but in the reverse. Even the Shaman the Rebbe Eliezer, what do we find that you want to say the time of that second brisa is Rebbe Eliezer? The meratza tzitz al achilas. That, okay, he's like this brisa that says that it's meratza on the dam and the baser and the chaleb. So we find that he's the one that holds that tzitz meratza on even things that are eaten. But the leg kanis, but that to not to penalize where if the blood was thrown deliberately in the state of tumma by a yachid, that we don't penalize him. Mishamalei, do we hear that he's that tana? How do we know he's the one that says that idea? Says the Gemara, in yes, because kihecha the shamat le Rebbe Yosi, just like you heard that Rebbe Yosi holds like this, shamat le Rebbe Eliezer, we find the same idea, which was the source that we were saying originally that Rebbe Yosi is the one who holds that we don't penalize, we find the same thing by Rebbe Eliezer. So then, like Linda Braisa, he says, whether if the person that's taking off his truma gives tamei on tahar, he gives the tamei ones to the kayin, whether he does it by mistake or whether he doesn't deliberately, Trumas or Trumas, it's going to be valid Trumas. So you see, he holds that a yachid, that Isa b'mezid, it's still going to be valid. On that, the Gemara asks the question, which it didn't ask before in Rebbe Yosi, but the Gemara is asking it here. Eimer d'shamad le'le Rebbe Eliezer. Well, wait a second, where do you find Rebbe Eliezer holds that we don't penalize an individual when he's doing something inappropriate deliberately? That's betruma, the kila. That's by the laws of betruma, which is more lenient. But kachem de chamir mishamele, but by the severe laws of kachem, did we ever hear that he's gonna say even over there that we didn't penalize a yachid that goes and does him in the state of tumah? Maybe there we actually would penalize and say that the tzitz is not gonna be meratza. That's the Gemara, but in Cain, if that's what you want to ask, then ha, then this second brace that we said that's Maratza on the Yachad that does bemezid, aman tarmayas. And who are you going to put on? We don't have anyone else that it fits well with, and therefore, since it's possible to be Rebbe Eliezer, therefore we're going to assume that it is Rebbe Eliezer, because we do find, he says a similar idea, that we don't penalize the Yachad that does bemezid, at least by Truma, and he's also the one that holds that it's Maratza on Achilas. Now, or Ravinam, he gives a different resolution of the braces. He says, Tamasai, regarding the Tumah, contracting Tumah, then that's what the second Braisa had said, Bein B'Shoigig, whether if it became Tumah by mistake, Bein B'Mezah, whether if it became Tumah deliberately, that Hurtza, it's going to be effective when he goes and he sprays that blood. But the first Braisa was Tumah Zrikasai, the throwing of the blood, that B'Shoigig, if he threw it by mistake, not regarding it becoming tummy, the throwing of the blood, then hurtza, then it's going to be effective. And this that it said that loy hurtza by the b'mezid was tumat if he throws it deliberately. B'mezid loy hurtza, if it does it deliberately, then it's not going to be hurtza. So that's the resolution to the b'raisa. One's tumat shaygig and mezid on the when it that this that it became tummy, and the other b'raisa is talking about regarding the throwing of the blood. Regarding that, it's only going to work b'shaygig and not b'mezid. Whereas Rav Shilam, he says the exact opposite. He says, Zrikasi, the throwing of the blood, that's what the first Braisa was talking about. That was the second Braisa. Bein Mishoigig, Bein Mimezid Hurtza. When you throw it, even if you're throwing it by mistake or deliberately, even though it's Tamei, then it's going to be acceptable. Tamasid, but regarding having contracted Tumah, that's what the first Braisa was talking about. Mishoigig Hurtza, only if by mistake it became Tamei. Okay, fine. And then you go ahead and spray it, whether b'shaygig b'mezid. B'mezid lo hurtza, but if deliberately you let it become tummy, then we penalize you, then it's not going to be merutza. Even if, let's say, you spray it b'shaygig, it's not going to work. That's the two different braises. Again, the flip side of Ravina's interpretation. Now, this, the Gemara asks, Rav Shila, ha, and the Gersa takes out the dalad, ha katani. But what do you mean? We learned the braise that says, shenitima b'mezid b'mezid. It was talking about regarding its contraction of tumma that the second braise is saying, this idea, whether if it happened by mistake or deliberately. So how could he explain that it's regarding the Zrika and not regarding the Tumah? So this is the way he would explain the Braisa. Nitma b'shoigig, if it became Tumah by mistake, so therefore when it says v'alachelev shenitma, comma, then one should insert the word b'shoigig. And then it goes to Vizarka with these two words I'm missing, and then when he sprays it, it's b'im b'shoigig b'im b'mezid, so it is going on the Zrika. But the Gemara continues asking, as we tintam chavav min aleph, tashma, from the following braisa. Says, dam shenitma, blood that became tummy. Bezarka, and then he threw it. So, b'shegu hurtza, if it's done by mistake, it's going to be acceptable. B'mezid lo hurtza, if it does it deliberately, it's not going to be acceptable. So that's difficult according to Rav Shila, because it says, if it's going under throwing. If he throws, it sounds like if he throws it deliberately, it's not going to be merutza, when he had answered that the zrika works shegu and mezid, and it's only the tumma that doesn't work b'mezid. Here too, the Gemara says, this is what the braisa is saying. Dam shenitma blood that became tummy v'zarkei and he threw it bein mishegi bein mimezid. That one should say is to add into the braisa that whether he does it by mistake or whether he does it by mimezid, that is going to work. Then when the braisa continues, it's actually going to clarify regarding what it started off the case of dam shenitma nitma mishegi hurtza. But regarding its becoming tummy, if it became tummy by mistake, then it's going to be acceptable. But b'mezid hurtza, if it was deliberately, then it's not going to be acceptable. That's the way it has to be resolved, according to what Rav Shila had said. So therefore, as the Gemara had said, regarding these last two answers, the two brides are not difficult. We're opposite interpretations, because one's talking about the tumma, and one's talking about the zrika. Or as we said before, you could say one bryce is Rabbi Eliezer, one bryce is Rabbanan, and that is the machlekes between the two bryces, if we do penalize a yachid, sha'asa b'mezid, or we don't.